We began this series last week. We're going to look at some different things that will change our lives. If we will just focus in on some Bible verses and just take some time to think about these things. These are things that's transformed my life when I finally got it, when I finally understood it. I've been saved for a number of years. I was saved as a child. And sometimes in our Christian lives, when we finally get a truth and it sticks in our mind, it actually will change us inwardly, which will change us outwardly too. Last week we talked about what it meant to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. We talked about how total satisfaction or total surrender will equal total satisfaction. And here in this passage of Scripture this morning, we're going to look at the process of transformation. Next verse, which is Romans 12:2. I know I had you go to Hebrews, but doesn't want to click. There we go. There it goes. Romans 12:2. I know last week we looked at Romans 12:1, but Romans 12:2 gives us a little bit of this idea of the process of transformation. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed." And this, we need to be transformed. And, we need, most people would call this sanctification. When we are saved, we begin as baby Christians. We have to use the milk of the word. And the goal is to become more like Jesus Christ. And someday when we get to heaven, we are going to be like him. But here while we're in this world, we begin to change and become transformed into becoming like Jesus Christ. We will never ever make it all the way there, but there are a lot of people who look a lot more like Christ today than some that do not, that say that are believers. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. This is something that God has to do, and how we do it is by the renewing of our mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, change is inevitable. I know some people like change. Some people like to move from spot to spot. I think some of our Coast Guard families, how every 4 years they had to move, and sometimes they enjoy that. Sometimes they would prefer to stay in one location. We all go through some type of change or course of change in our lives. It's inevitable. Some people enjoy it. Some people don't. Some people live in the same house all their lives. Some people move from place to place. If you look at our bodies, they definitely change. We wish they were youthful and they were young. And, I see this past week at Kids Crusade, I saw all that energy and all that stuff. And I said, boy, I wish I had some of that. But you know what? Your body changes. And the list could go on and on. Technology changes, that's for sure. Can you imagine some of the things that we see today? Do you ever thought we would see some of the things that we see? Phones at work and cell phones you can carry around and you can get the internet on, and they're coming out with a cell phone that actually can be a projector to do the same thing that does someday, that will project up on the wall just from something here. Technology changes. It's amazing what it does. So that way when you look at your camera, if you want to show somebody a picture, you can project it up on the wall and show the people their pictures. I think that will be here, they said, within the next year or so. Amazing what the technology can do. Society changes. Boy, we think about how much society has changed. And it's changed not for the good here in America. Government changes. The list could go on and on. While not every change is good, we often look back on many and be thankful that God has allowed the changes to happen in our lives. I don't know about you, but when I look back on my life, I see where I was, I see where I'm now, I'm thankful for the things that God has allowed to happen. But here's the transforming truth. Here's the thing that I think that once we get a hold of, I think we all realize we're supposed to do this, but once we say this and see this, this is something that will transform our lives. I should be growing as a Christian. That's what it is. We should not be in the same spot where we were before. We should be growing, and hopefully it is something that is not just a yearly thing, but a daily thing, a weekly thing, a monthly thing. Hebrews in chapter number 5. Let's look here and look at verses 12 to 14. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 to 14 gives us a helpful understanding here about us as Christians. God desires for us to grow. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 to 14 says, For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, The Bible, he's speaking to believers that have been saved for a while. He said, there's a time that you should be grown now, that you should be helping someone else, that you should be directing someone else, that you actually should be a teacher. I know that not all of us has been called to be a teacher, but we should be teaching, mentoring, discipling people. We can do that even if we don't feel called to stand behind a pulpit. And it says, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. And what the Bible is saying here is that you did not learn it. You never accepted it. You never grown. This is what this transforming truth is all about. If we allow these truths, they will transform us. And we won't be just someone who actually needs to be taught it again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as we have need of milk and not of strong meat. You know, the Bible is saying here is that some of us, we've been saved for a long time, and we're still in that same spot. We need to grow so we can begin to disciple others. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use had their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So what this passage of scripture is saying is that we should be growing. Every Christian has areas in their life that should be changed after we accept God's gift of salvation and become a part of his family. We call this process of being changed sanctification, or a transformation. The moment we get saved, we are infants in Christian lives, but as we grow in Christ, he wants us to develop continually in our walk with him. He wants us to kind of wean off of that spiritual milk and be able to take on the meat of his word. He wants us to mature. He wants us to change. You say, why is this so important to God? It's because when you begin to change, that's when the relationship with Jesus Christ and God becomes deeper. It becomes greater. As we are transformed into his fellowship, we draw closer to him. As we draw closer into him, it's a more meaningful relationship. It is something that we have closer fellowship with him. We actually find joy. When we are changing, when we're becoming more like him, there's a joy that's in our life that cannot replace. Now, I know some of us do not like change. I'll be honest with you, most people aren't joyful when they say, well, I got to pack up and move to a new house. But this change is something we can find joy in. When we're growing as a Christian, we can be excited and find great joy in. Here's a couple of things I think will be helpful to you. As you look on your outlines, there's 3 points, and underneath those points, there's some other points. First thing is, transformation is a process. It takes time. You look at this room in here. I know some of you helped us remodel this room. It's been remodeled twice since I've been here. When I was the assistant, they painted all the blue color. And then within the last, I think it's probably the last year or two, we've changed the colors again. There was a lot of work that needed to be done. There was a lot of, when it comes to remodeling something, there is a lot of things that has to be done. And simply in here, they just repainted it, and they put the soundboards up and things like that, and they made some changes, but it took a lot of people with a lot of hours and a lot, it was a process. It was something that did not just happen overnight, and I can imagine if you had to remodel a whole house, and I know some of you have been through that, and I know some of you are going through that. You know, we had to tear up flooring and put down new flooring. I mean, there is a process that's involved in it. And our transformation of being a babe in Christ to becoming like Christ, it's going to take a while. And there's some guidelines here to help you. Here are some things I want you to think about. And you know what? It's just something that we are not immediately transformed. We are being transformed all the time. There's a couple things I want you to think about. Number one is, don't ever quit. So what do you mean? You know, if we're trying to become more like Jesus Christ, it's easy to get discouraged. The truth of the matter is you look around and you see some people that have grown in the Lord and been saved maybe for a lot of years or maybe even a shorter period of time, and you see God blessing them and God using them, and you're turning around and it's like, well, I can't be like them, and because they're growing and because I'm not, I'm just going to quit. I'm not going to keep on reading my Bible. I'm not going to keep on doing the things I'm supposed to be doing because I'm tired of not ever growing and seeing the change. It's a process. Don't quit. The Bible says, for we dare not, and 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, for we dare not compare ourselves, make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. I want to encourage you here that when you look at your Christian walk, you look at where you were. And I tell you, when I go back in my life and I think about the different spots and different stages I've been and where I am now, I'm not saying I'm anything special, but I am better off than what I was before spiritually. I'm more like Christ today than I was 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years ago. And I'm thankful for that. The young people sang the song this week, "The Things I Used to Do, Don't Do Them Anymore." And that's a neat little song, but the truth of it is, there are things that I don't do anymore because there's been a great change in my life. And you think about it, what it says in Philippians 1:6, we have to trust the process. It says, being confident in this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you're not bothered by the success of others, but you're bothered by your lack of process and spiritual inconsistencies. Again, determine to trust God. You know, don't ever quit at it. Trust God, trust in God's process. He says, well, I've been learning a verse a day for a month and I don't see any help there. And you got to trust God's process. He's the one that knows us. He's the one that made us. And for so many years and so long, we have been away from God and we just haven't been trying to grow. You got to trust the process. He's God. He knows what we need. He knows we need scripture. He knows we need prayer. He knows we need meditation. He knows these things. Trust God in the process. Second thing I want you to think about is, don't ever be satisfied. And this, I know that first one probably didn't apply to many of you because most of you have been saved for quite some time and you're thinking, well, I'm not jealous of somebody else. That doesn't really apply to me. I've been saved for so many years. I'm not going to quit on God. Well, don't be satisfied either. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, writes some wonderful verses under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, not as though I have already attained. He's like, I haven't gotten there yet. He says, I have not become completely like Christ. Either we're already perfect, but I follow after. If I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended for Christ Jesus. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We do not need to be satisfied in our Christian life. And this is where people who have been saved for many years get to this point and they've grown a little bit and they say, okay, I'm done. I don't need to grow anymore. I'm happy where I'm at. That's a dangerous spot for us to be in. It's a dangerous spot for us to have been saved for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years and thinking, I don't need to grow anymore. And I had people come to me and say, yeah, look, I'm good with where I'm at. I don't need to learn anything else. I got it already figured out. The Apostle Paul didn't have it figured out. We don't have it figured out either. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:18, it says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's the thought here. He's writing to people who are getting martyred for the cause of Christ, people who had to mature really quickly. And he says, look, continue to grow in the grace, continue to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It does not stop here. Remember, it is a process. Remodeling does not help if you stop without the walls being painted or the floor still torn up. It's not going to be finished. And we're never going to be finished till we get to where we become like Jesus Christ. So it's a process. It's not going to happen overnight. Some people do grow quicker. Some people do get it a little bit quicker. But don't ever quit. Next thing is don't be satisfied. Last but not least, don't be overwhelmed. I don't know about you, but that happens to me sometimes. I get frustrated with myself and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I can't do this. And see, that's the point we need to get to. We got to be putting our trust and confidence in God that we learned about in Philippians 1:6 when it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He never promises that the transformation was not going to be easy. There'll be times in our Christian life where the process of the transformation will be challenging. They'll be draining. Trials will come. Satan will tempt you to go back to your old sinful ways. While God did not promise the trials wouldn't come, he did promise to give us the strength. He did promise that he would be there with us. He won't lead you to another level of transformation without also providing the spiritual strength to grow. Through the power of Christ, you can be transformed, but don't be overwhelmed by all the Lord wants us to do in our lives. Instead, rely on his strength. You think about what it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Don't get to the point where you're just like, I'm done with it. I'm overwhelmed by it all. I don't see how I am supposed to be able to handle all this pressure, all this godly living, all everything else. It's a process. God's not going to put you through the Daniels and the lion's dens and the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's until you, and first when you see in Daniel 1:8, he purposed in his heart he was not going to defile himself. God's not going to put you like Moses with those millions of Israelites going through the desert. Could you imagine listening to him always whining and always complaining? Boy, that would drive me crazy. But you know what? He had 40 years in the desert training, and God had him prepared. God had him ready. You know, it's a process in your life. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't be overwhelmed by it. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, it's becoming, as I learn in these years, that phrase, "My grace is sufficient for thee," has become more and more meaningful. I think our choir this morning is going to sing a song that talks about a grace medley. But it says, you know, joy floods our soul when we understand that his grace is sufficient for us. We get to the spot where we understand that no matter what's on our shoulders, no matter what's bearing down on us, that his grace is sufficient for us. Don't become overwhelmed. Is it easy to become overwhelmed? It sure is. The devil is good at what he does. He's not going to give you a day off. He's not going to sit there and try and make things easy on you. He wouldn't be doing a good job if he was. But don't get overwhelmed by it. Don't make up excuses. Realize that you can do all things through Christ. And realize that his grace is sufficient. So, first thing is, a transformation process is a process. Once again, you can't do something. You can't transform, remodel something just like that. It takes time. The next thing is, transformation is personal. It's personal. And you got to make this decision if you're going to do it. So what does it have to do with me? It starts all with last week, what we learned last week. When he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." That's where it begins. It begins with the personal decision. I'm over here, I'm a babe in Christ, and I want to become like Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that to me. The Bible shows me that I want to become like him. And that's what my Christian walk is. I'm making a personal decision to offer my body as a living sacrifice so I can become like him, so he can teach me, he can mold me, he can train me to become more like him. Now, are there still people that are babes in Christ? Yeah, we looked at that in Hebrews 5. There's people who had to be taught the same thing again and again and again. They should be old enough to, and they've been saved long enough. They should be teachers today. They should be mentoring people. They should be discipling people. But instead, they still haven't learned those simple things that God says are so important to us, because they still are getting milk, where over here, other people are getting the meat of the word. It's our personal decision. You think about it, a pilot. In getting its license, it goes through two phases of schooling. There's ground school and there's flight school. My son Christian went to driver's ed this year, and that's kind of scary. He's getting almost to the point where he's old enough to get a driver's license. And he went and he did his book work, and he passed his book, and now he's waiting to get his driving part done so that way he can get his driver's permit. Kaylee Colvin right now, this last week, she was driving. And because she learned how to do this. The book of Romans is like that. The first 11 chapters is the groundwork. They teach you how to become a Christian. They teach you what it is about separation. They teach you how to have victory over sin. Chapter number 12 then begins the driving part. It begins the practical part of it. It takes you and shows you how to not only have a book knowledge, but start living your life that way. And in this idea in chapter 12, verse number 1, it starts off, here it is. You need to present your body a living sacrifice. And then if you're presenting your body as a living sacrifice, you need to make sure this world is not conforming you, but that you're being transformed by God by the renewing of your mind day after day after day. And it's something that we need to take and put in place what we learned. Next thing is, not only is it's a personal decision, it should not waver with circumstances. This is if you're going to become like Jesus Christ, the circumstances that come into our lives cannot change it. You think about Acts 20, verse 24, is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I would count it probably as my theme verse for my life. But none of these things move me, neither I count my life dear unto myself. He's saying, look, the circumstances are not going to change me from wanting to become transformed. He says, neither I count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course of joy, because that's what I want to do. At the end of my life, I still want to have joy. We're going to talk about Jacob dying today. At the end of Jacob's life, Jacob's telling Joseph, God shall be with you. Jacob is telling Joseph, hey, look, God's going to visit with you. I want you to take my body and take it back to the land of Canaan. And he is encouraging his children. He is finishing his course with joy. And the ministry which I have received, the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, we should not let things stop us. If you can see a spiritual progress in your life, then praise the Lord. If you cannot see a spiritual progress in your life, what has stopped us and what has caused us the problem? It's not the fact that God has messed up. It's not the fact that God does not want to transform us. It's because of the fact that we ourselves have let circumstances stop us from becoming more like Him. Now, some of us are babes, and we're just letting the fact that we want to be selfish stop us. Other of us have tried to begin this walk before, and then the devil said, nah, I'm not going to have anything to do with that. And he levies us with things, and he hits us with things, and he tries to overwhelm us with things, and we might get discouraged, and we might want to quit. We might get to the point where we think we become complacent and says, hey, if I got to go that much, if that's going to happen to me, I'm not going to go any farther. Or we might get to the spot where we become overwhelmed, and we let the circumstances stop us. But in all reality, it's always God trying to make us. You think about it. I know I could probably found a better picture than that. But you think about the pottery, and this is a vase. And some people would think that's probably really pretty. I look for an ancient type pottery. To me, it's a little bit funny looking, but I don't care too much what vases look like and don't look like. But when a person made that, it took time. It started off as a lump of clay. And they had to make it, many times had to remake it. And just as the potter plans as he prepares the clay, God is our potter who knows that the process we need to go through to transform us. See, we can't let things stop us. God's always in control. God has everything planned out for us. He allows things to happen into our lives. And He will allow the pressure. He'll never let the pressure become so great that you're broken. And the idea that His hands are safe. His hands are gentle. His hands are the ones that mold us. Think about in Jeremiah chapter 18, there's a little, he talks about the potter's house. He says, the word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah, from the Lord saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words. He said, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on his wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, and he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. What he's saying is, look, you go, you watch the potter, you see the potter doing the work, and if there's a marring, if there's a mark in there, he doesn't just take the clay, he doesn't just throw it away. Instead, he remakes it again. And this is what God's trying to do in our lives. We're babes in Christ, and he is trying to make us into the image of his son, and he sometimes has to remake us. Sometimes he has to put us under that refiner's fire to be able to become something that he wants us to be. We got to be careful to realize that God is able to do this. Even though when we go through trials, we can rest assured in the potter's hand. He has a purpose for everything he allows us to go through. So when we think about this, our transformation process, it's a process. It's personal. You say, okay, Pastor, I've offered my body as a living sacrifice. Then this happened, and then this happened. This person died. This person got sick. I got sick. I've ran into financial trouble. You got to trust God. It's a process, and it's personal. You're saying, I'm all for my body as a living sacrifice. No matter what happens in my life, I want to become like Jesus Christ. Next thing I want you to see is it's practical. Transformation is practical. So what do you mean? It means that there needs something that needs to change in our lives. If there's something in our lives that we know is not like Jesus Christ, we need to get the old out. We need to get cleaned up. Says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The primary practical step of transformation is to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, like we saw in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2. The renewing of our mind should be one of the most divine, delightful, and daily occurrences of our lives. It's not theoretical. It's completely real. It has a process when we let the Word of God in our minds, and we think about the Word of God, and we find that scripture, we try to memorize it, we try to meditate it. It is a practical thing. If we really want to become like Jesus Christ, it is a renewing of our mind. And it might be that you only read 10 verses a day to get something out of it, and you have to read it 10 times to get something out of it. But you find something, you let it renew your mind. I think you should always be reading through your Bible, but I think you should always have a certain focus time period where you focus on certain scriptures and learn from them, understand them, and let God renew your mind also through that. How do you renew your mind? You got to get rid of the old. Your old sinful habits, your old destructive relationships, your old thought patterns, your old offenses. You do this by confessing your sin to God, nailing it to the cross, and putting it under the blood of Jesus Christ. You got to stop saying, I have to have bitterness, or I have to be a worrier, or it's just the way I am. I have to be angry, and I have to. No, we got to let God take His process and do a process and make it a personal work, and then start applying the practical things to our life instead of letting sin stay there. We got to let God transform our lives and get rid of those sins. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? We should not hinder the process of sanctification. We must let God have preeminence in our mind. We must say, okay, Lord, I'm going to let you take my worries. I'm going to let you take my bitterness. I'm going to let you take my anger. I'm going to let you take it all, and I'm going to get rid of this old. Is that simple and easy to do? No. It's a daily renewing of your mind. It's a process. It is a personal say, I am going to sacrifice to God. He wants me to grow, and now I'm going to get rid of the old. The next thing is, I'm going to put in the new, put the new in. Once you get rid of the thoughts that are dishonoring the Lord, allow God to transfer your mind by replacing those thoughts with new ones that please Him. You think about it when it says in Philippians 4:8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And that's a great verse to memorize. And it's the idea that God is saying, this is what you need to be thinking about. Is it trustworthy? Is it true? Is it honest? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it of a good report? Is there any virtue? Is there any praise? There are several ways you can put good thoughts in your mind, but probably the most important thing is when we put scripture in our mind and we be reading scripture and memorizing scripture. And when we get to the point where something bad comes into our thought process, we begin to work on that scripture that we've been learning and trying to learn. We can also put a good, godly, Christ-honoring music in our hearts. We can expose ourselves to sound biblical preaching. There is many ways to encourage pure thought patterns, and that can, it's gotta be something that we gotta put something new in there. I know sometimes it's easy. I know sometimes, I remember when I tried to give up the wrong type of music a couple different times. I kept on going back to it, and someone taught me, you gotta put something new in there. And then I began putting good music in there. And at the beginning, I hated it. I really despised the type of music. I says, man, how can anybody enjoy this? And then you know what? The Holy Spirit of God started doing a work on me. And I started listening to the words and understanding what the scripture says and the applications that were being made and the transforming power. The Holy Ghost was able to transform my taste to not wanting fleshly things, but my spiritual life, my spiritual side began to desire and want those things. And we got to be honest with ourselves. Our music does something to our lives. It says, oh, it doesn't bother me. No, it transforms you. It makes you ready to either worship God or to worship self. And we need to be careful with it. And then next, is last but not least, we're going to have to guard what goes in. To be honest with you, put the new in. If you really want to do that, you're going to have to do it on purpose. You're going to have to maybe get your pen out and write down, hey, I need to stop doing this. And I need to start doing, you're going to have to make a list of things that maybe you shouldn't watch this week or listen to. Some websites that we don't really need to go to, and then say, instead, I'm going to maybe read my Bible a little more, or I'm going to listen to a Christian CD, or I'm going to watch a godly movie if you have one, or something like that. You know, we're going to change. We're going to get a book that we're going to read that's going to help us want to become more like Him. We're going to get rid of the sin, but we're going to put something new, and then we're going to begin to guard what goes into our hearts and minds. Once again, if we want to become like Jesus Christ, we all start over here. And so many of us, we're still here. We've been saved for 20, 30, 40 years, but we're still babes in Christ. We still need to be taught again that we need, our lives need to be transformed. Our lives need to be changed. You say, Pastor, why do you talk about the same principles so many times? It's because that's what needs to be taught. That's what needs to be heard, because so many people still struggle with them. And so that way, we all should be teachers. Yes, we all should be helping disciple somebody else, but there's many of us that still need to get rid of the old and put the new in, and then we need to guard what goes in. Once you've gotten rid of sin in your mind, you need to replace the old thoughts with pure ones. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. When I was in Bible college, I worked the midnight shift, and we had a security system, because I worked from 9 o'clock at night to 9 o'clock in the morning 4 days a week. And we had a security system placed at our house. And when they came and they did the security system, they did all these different things. They wanted an alarm system for the front door. They put something in the front door. They put something on the back door. And then I lived in a townhouse. I had a deck out back, and there was another sliding glass door, but they didn't put an alarm system there. They only, because they said somebody's not going to climb up your deck because it was 20 feet off the ground. And they had a board that was there on a sliding glass door. And I always thought that was kind of weird. And I says, you know what? Somebody, if they really wanted to get in my house, they could have went and done that. And it's important that we secure every area of our lives. You know, if I was so worried about my wife, and that's the reason why we did it, we wanted her to feel comfortable. And, if I was so concerned with my wife, and all I did was put an alarm on the front door and says, oh, don't worry about the back door and don't worry about the sliding glass door, it's not going to protect her. And in our lives, we got to be careful that we put a security system in every area of our lives. We need to make sure that we're guarding our heart from all entrances, not just the front door, not just the basement back door, and not just the sliding glass door. We need to protect the windows too. We need to do all these different things. We need to learn how to protect things. And that's what the Bible's talking about here. Get rid of the old. Put in the new, but begin to guard our concepts. To be honest with you, some of us are really good at certain things. I don't struggle with the type of music I should listen to. That's something that, you know, it's got the security system on there, and there's no way the devil's going to get in there. But you know what? If I'm not careful what I may watch on TV, or what I may look on the internet, or what I may read, the devil can come in a different way. So stop glorifying in the fact, hey, I got this godly music standard that's better and better than anybody else's, and start making sure that all the areas of our lives are protected. We'll conclude with this thought here. If you look at this word conformed in our text, it's a neutral word. It actually has this idea, it can be a good connotation or a bad connotation. Conformed to the world. It's mentioned two other times in scriptures, in Romans 8:29 and Philippians 3:10. This word conformed gives the idea of being fashioned to or shaped into something. The word for the world in this passage refers to the age. This verse in 12:1, especially 12:2, is telling us not to be shaped by the age in which we live in. So in Romans 12:2, let me make sure I get it. I know I could probably quote it, but I don't like quoting things wrong. And in Romans 12:2, it says, and be not conformed to this world. This word conformed means it can actually be a good connotation or bad connotation. This world is actually referring to this age. Be not conformed to this world. And it gives this idea that this world or this age is going to conform us, or God's going to conform us. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If I had a stick up here, and I had a pocket knife or some type of knife, and I was trying to whittle the stick away, you know, I'm conforming that stick to make it look the way I want to. And the Bible's saying here is that we're going to let something conform us. This is a neutral word. This is saying, look, either you're going to be conformed by the world or you're going to be conformed by God. Are you going to let the age and the time and the culture that we live in begin to conform you, begin to make you, begin to mold you, and transform you into a 21st century individual? Or are we going to let the Bible transform and mold us into being a Christ-like individual? It's going to happen to us one way or another. We're going to be transformed. Actually, I'm sorry. We're going to be conformed either by this day and time we live in, or are we going to be conformed by the renewing of our mind day by day in the Word of God? So what is it that we're going to do? Are we going to let the Bible transform us and conform us? Or are we going to let this world conform us into what it wants us to become? As we close, you know, some of these things are simple. When we go through these different lessons and these transforming truths, you're going to say, "Preacher, I already knew that. Has it transformed you, though?" I mean, we all knew that we're supposed to offer our body as a living sacrifice day by day to God. I know it's a one continual one, but it's one done once, but it's day by day, continually saying, "Lord, whatever you want." But how many of us did that this past week? How many of us did that yesterday? Said, "Lord, here's my body. I'm going to do what you want me to do with it. I'm going to try to keep, it's not mine to use, you use it away." See, that's why we need to hear it again. Once we grab a hold of that idea and we let it change us, that's a transforming truth. And this idea that God wants us to grow as Christians, it transforms us. It says, look, God wants me to be growing. That means I need to be learning more. That means I need to be taking steps. That means I need to be reading my Bible. It means I need to be praying. That means I need to get to the spot where I'm not satisfied just hearing the same thing again and again because I never learned it. But instead, now I want to learn these things so I can teach others also. Transformation is a process. It's going to take a while. It doesn't happen overnight. Don't give up. Don't get overwhelmed. Don't get discouraged. Don't get complacent either. Remember, it is a personal choice that you make, and don't let circumstances stop you. Last but not least, is practical. It's taking the old out, putting the new in, then guarding what you have put into your hearts. Let God change you. God wants you to be growing as a Christian. Let's pray.